tonight. We're a week away from WWE's WrestleMania, so we gotta ask, who do you got? Canada kicks in the box office door for Forbidden Door in Toronto. Impact Wrestling loses both world champions in the matter of a week. Have FTR subtly announce their farewell from AEW. Plus, CM Punk's Instagram pipe bomb. We're going there with one of the targets to directly respond to what Punk had to say. It's all coming up on Sunday night's main event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
How you doing? I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's Wrestling Radio Show. Sunday night's main event powered by TotalSportCards.com. Canada's number one stop for all WWE, UFC, NHL, NBA, and NFL hobby boxes. That's TotalSportCards.com. This show is always free across the country on TSN Radio, the iHeartRadio, and News Talk Networks. Plus, you can get it through our affiliate stations and online at SNMEradio.com. You can also get the show early, along with all our Patreon podcast lineup, for about $5 a month, all at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Well, every week, like stories in our Instagram feed, we catch little nuggets here and there. Wait, what? One of the stories this week is actually about Instagram? It is, right, okay. Let's just get down to it. Here are some of the top stories of the week. We call it the five count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Let's start off with great news for wrestling fans. AEW and New Japan's Forbidden Door 2, set for Toronto this summer, is a near sellout, but if you still want to go, be prepared to shell out some cash if you want to sit anywhere close to the action. The Forbidden Door 2 presale launched on Wednesday and was just a couple thousand tickets away from being sold out then. By Friday, for the official on sale, only a few hundred tickets remained. Now, the tickets that are left up for grabs are either resale, which started about $96 to sit up in the high 300s, or if you're wanting the available platinum seats, you'll be spending $1,400 or more after fees. As you can expect, the resale ticket prices are ridiculous right now. There are over 2,000 resale seats as we produce today's show. With the exception of a few participants set to take place in the WrestleMania Showcase tag matches, the card for WrestleMania 39 in Los Angeles appears to be set. The latest addition, of course, was Rey Mysterio finally accepting the challenge from his son Dominic after a year-long build. Yeah, remember, it was last WrestleMania this all started. We also learned that John Cena versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship will be the first match to kick off WrestleMania weekend on Saturday, April 1st. And there's a firm belief that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos could main event Saturday night. Although that could also be the spot where Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair tangle for the SmackDown Women's title. No surprise here, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns will be main eventing WrestleMania Sunday. All right, let's go there. CM Punk's latest social media posts have fans guessing once again. Now, Punk on Friday apparently posted on his Instagram story for about a minute some details regarding problems he had around the AEW World Title Unification match against Jon Moxley, including an allegation that Moxley refused to lose to Punk in the match. While he detailed the story from his perspective, including indicating that he wasn't actually cleared to wrestle, Punk also went on and said that Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer was, quote, a liar, and had the same to say about Chris Jericho, calling Jericho a liar and a stooge. Now, even though the post was quickly deleted, as we all know, nothing on the internet goes away no matter how fast you hit that remove post button. Okay, heads up, this next story is going to sound like a bit of a homer, but hear me out. Dungeon Wrestling, based out of Calgary, Alberta, who, full disclosure, I do commentary for, have announced that they are going to have their first ever live streaming pay-per-view on Friday, April 7th. No pressure. Now, there's a wide variety of talent from across the country and around the world going to be on this show, including Ontario's own and new Impact Wrestling signee, Jody Threat. The Bollywood Boys, fresh off another stint on AEW Rampage out of Vancouver, are going to be having a return match against the nephews of the Dynamite Kid, MLW's Billington Bulldogs. Speaking of Bulldogs in MLW, Harry Smith, Davey Boy Smith Jr., is also going to be on the card. Dirty Dango, you might remember him as Fandango in WWE, and current Dungeon Wrestling champion Nick Aldis are among some of the talent set to appear. I've talked about it before on the show here, but Dungeon Wrestling owned by the sons of Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret actually helps make some matches as well. It's very cool. And it takes place in the home of Stampede Wrestling, the Victoria Pavilion. This will be like a throwback. That's all I'm going to do to sell you on it. If you'd like to find out more information, head to dungeonwrestling.ca. And the men's and women's world championships in Impact Wrestling are causing a lot of stir among fans, mostly because both were vacated this past weekend. Yeah, it was announced earlier in the week that due to injury, Impact Knockouts champion Mickie James was unable to defend her title. Also, it was announced that world champion and longest reigning Impact Wrestling world champion Josh Alexander had suffered a torn tricep, which has resulted in him having to vacate his championship. Now, if you heard Josh on this show a couple months back, you might have followed the breadcrumbs to an eventual match between him and Steve Macklin. That's now off. Macklin actually filled Alexander's place on the last pay-per-view this past Friday. Now Macklin's facing Kushida at Rebellion in Toronto. You know what? I could tell you more about it, but our own Boris Aguilar from the SNME Radio Podcast Network was there. Boris, you're also covering the show for our good friends at SlamWrestling.net, so you can read your review there. But a crazy situation in Impact Wrestling. You follow this every week. How were the fans that night at Sacrifice on Friday? Was it something that everybody kind of knew was going on? Was it a shock to some people? How were people feeling going into the show?
I think that overall, people did know what was going on between Mickie and Josh. The people that I spoke to, they, at least the ones who knew about Impact, they for sure knew and they were bummed out. But obviously, you know, they know that card's subject to change and things happen.
Well, and that's just it. It's such a unique situation to have both world champions, your men's and your women's world champions, go out at the same time here. We were talking before we came on here, you're not thinking that either of these are a work. I mean, obviously the Alexander one isn't, but the Mickie James one does kind of play to a story, but you're thinking that's not the case here.
Agreed. I think that the timing, if it was a work, this would be the worst business decision known to man. You know, they have the big cross-promotional show with New Japan Pro Wrestling next Thursday in LA, and then they have Rebellion in a few weeks. To me, it just doesn't make sense for them to just remove her and expect everyone to kind of be happy if that's the case.
People like to always doubt things, right? So that's why I brought it up, but...
CM Punk, need we say more?
Oh, boy. Yeah, we're getting into that next segment. Don't worry. But let me ask you this, though. As far as the show went, I mean, it was already kind of a different main event where Alexander was going to be in the trios match taking on Time Machine, which is slightly better than Jacket Time, I guess. But did that match feel like it built to what's now going to be the eventual title match between Macklin and Kushida?
I think that they did a really good job of telling that story of saying these are the two guys, Kushida and Macklin, who you need to watch for, right? They kept them separate throughout the entire match. They taunted each other because obviously they know that they're going to face each other at Rebellion, right? So they did a good job of telling that story, keeping them apart, and then getting them that face-to-face. And, you know, the eventual end of the match saw Kushida making Macklin tap out. So I think that, all things considered, Impact did a relatively good job of hyping up that match, telling you that these are the big two guys heading into Rebellion.
So let me ask you this now. You're the guy that tracks Impact for us every week. You can hear it on the BAM podcast here on the SNME Podcast Network. But you've been following the show for a while. We've had Josh Alexander on the show. Behind the scenes, he's a huge fan of Steve Macklin. Obviously, this is going to be the big title build. This was going to be the big match. This is going to be really probably the biggest match for Alexander. And talk about a guy that's just had great match after great match after great match. You got to be feeling a little let down, I guess, that you're not getting that match now.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's not a good thing. It's never a good thing to see someone get injured. But I do agree with you that I think that this was probably his biggest test at home against the guy that Impact has kind of quietly been building up to be the next big guy, right? So it really sucks that we're not going to see this match, but I'm hoping that when Josh is all healed up, that we will be able to somehow get these two back in a story. This past Thursday on Impact, they really started telling the story that this is Macklin's destiny and this is Josh Alexander's like really big test.
I think it'll be easy for them to jump back into it when they have to. But there you have it, Boris Aguilar. He was at Sacrifice, and we'll keep you posted. He'll keep you posted every week along with Matt during their BAM podcast. And of course, you can follow along snmeradio.com. Boris, thank you very much, sir.
Anytime.
Again, if you want to hear more Boris, you can check him out on the SNME Radio Podcast Network, snmeradio.com or patreon.com. /SNMU Radio gets you extra content. But coming up next, you know we're going there. We have to. It's not every day this guy makes the headlines, but checking in for his weekly segment from the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer. And yeah, we'll see what he has to say about CM Punk's words from this past week. And of course, we're a week away from WrestleMania, so we got a lot to talk about there and more coming up on Sunday night's main event.
You're listening to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
TotalSportCards.com, Canada's number one stop for WWE, AEW, UFC, NHL, NBA, and NFL hobby boxes. Total Sport Cards always delivers the most sought-after products with the best price points in the market that you can find. Keep your collection up to date with TotalSportCards.com. TotalSportCards.com, proud sponsor of Sunday night's main event.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, it's not every week that this guy is in the headlines, but lo and behold, one little Instagram post and people are talking about a lot of things that were brought up for about 30 seconds to a minute. But Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com, as you know, nothing on the internet goes away forever.
Yeah.
And there was a post made by CM Punk, and I'm hoping there's a credible source that saw it first, because I don't know. People can deep fake anything these days, but he hasn't denied that it was him saying it. So I guess that's it. But there was,
there was a post that he took, there was a post that he took down, I on our message board said something that, you know, probably, I wish I'd never said, but right. I mean, it's so it turned out to be something. I mean, what I do want to say is
I want to read the Instagram post first here. So let's go through it word for word. It starts off in big letters saying, "Sigh, I wasn't cleared to come back to wrestle yet. Then plan was to wrestle at the PPV pay-per-view. Obviously, I sat and listened to Moxley's Rocky III idea. I explained how I'd never seen a Rocky movie. And I thought the idea sucked, but the boss wanted to do it, whatever. He said he wouldn't lose to me, presumably Moxley. I'd never experienced someone refusing to lose to me. I just laughed. I asked Tony if this is what he wanted. He said, yes, he's the boss. So I said, okay, but I'd need to be cleared first. They kept saying it could just be a squash, so I didn't need to be cleared. I scoffed at that. My health is more important. Dave Meltzer is a liar. Jericho is a liar and a stooge. There were plans, but plans always change, but I'll never put a company above my health ever again." Now, a couple things about this. Maybe it's just a grammarly error or whatever. Like, there's a few words were jumbled up in this sort of thing. So I don't even know what time of day this was posted or anything, but it wasn't up long. A lot of people saw it. He says a lot of things about a lot of people, yourself included. So
yes,
this obviously ties back to the Dynamite title unification match when Punk came back from his injury.
Yes. Right.
Moxley had worked that entire summer being the interim champion. These interim titles seem to cause a lot of problems for wrestlers in AEW between.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this is a minor part of the story, but
right.
But yeah, we had the same, you know, it's funny because we had the same thing with Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Toni Storm was, you know, I think that she was mad that it was interim, you know, rather than full. And I know that like Moxley, you know, when he came back and won whatever that tournament deal was to be the champion over the summer.
Right.
You know, I think he wanted to be, you know, he was defending it for several months rather than interim. But that's like a small part. The basic gist is that there was. Anyway, I want to, you know, in his defense, in Punk's defense, he, you know, and I, you know, I mean, I wrote, I think, I mean, again, like he didn't say this, but I wrote a message board thing. It was just a quick thing where somebody goes like, you know, at least in that situation, you know, there was no drama and every, or whatever it was. And I remember exactly the wording, but, and I said, well, there was drama. And then I explained that. You know, there was, you know, stuff going on before Punk lost to Moxley. And then, of course, Punk beat Moxley in the rematch. Mm-hmm. And when I said that, I did not bring up the injury, which I should have, even though it's implied and everyone knows it, but I still should have. And in fairness to him, I didn't.
Okay.
So what was going on was, you know, Mox, the idea, okay, of this is that it's your first match back after an injury, and you're going against the top guy and the champion, the interim champion, everything like that. It probably makes sense to lose the first one and then come back to win. The problem was the second match was in Chicago and it was only a couple of weeks away and Punk was injured. Like if you had a month, if you had a month, this thing could really be, I mean, the right way to do it, but you had 10 days and a lot of people complained 10 days isn't enough, but that's what they did because that's the earliest I think that they could get Punk because of the injury. And Punk did, you know, but in fairness to him, he did do the job in the first match, but in fairness to Moxley put him over completely clean in the second match. So the idea that Moxley wouldn't lose to him, Moxley beat him to set up the loss to protect the fact that they could then work again, because if Moxley had lost to Punk in Punk's first match back coming off of an injury, you know, in storyline, of course he could get a rematch, but it at least makes it 1-1. Okay, whether that's right or wrong, that's the thing. Okay.
Well, I think maybe what happened, and
again,
go ahead.
Like, now as far as Jericho goes, I have no idea what that's about, other than, you know, obviously whatever. But I don't think if it had to do with my post, Jericho has zero to do with it. If it had to do with that post I made, it's such a quick thing. But, you know, but again, I should have put that in. I absolutely should put in. Yes, he was injured, and that was part of the story of why there was so much uncertainty until the end. But he did do the job, and that, you know, he did do the job. But there was uncertainty, not the week of the match, but leading into the match, there was uncertainty. Is this going to happen? What's going to happen? Because he's coming off this foot injury, and we don't know. You know, you can talk to doctors about like this and this, but everybody heals differently.
Right.
And, you know, in fairness to him, like I said, like perhaps he did not know exactly how quick he would heal past the point that he was okay for the pay-per-view. And some people go, hey, just did a pay-per-view match 10 days later. So your body heals, you know, your body does heal.
Well, this is where I want to get into this here. So I think that. And again, this is all interpretation. So please, anybody listening, don't think that I'm reciting fact here, because I leave you to be, in quote, the journalist. I'm just a guy that hosts a wrestling show. Okay. And I'm a fan like anybody else. But
yeah,
when it comes down to it, I do kind of resent Instagram and Twitter sometimes, because we only get so many characters. We can't tell a whole story. People don't pay attention to everything. So what I'm thinking, how I interpreted this thing, was that Moxley refusing to lose to Punk meant the interim match, because we all know the storyline was supposed to chug ahead to eventually.
But hold on. Okay. We got to
get through this first. So the whole story was supposed to eventually be Punk and MJF with the rivalry down the road. And of course that injury happened later down the road. But I think that Moxley's point, if he did say that, which again, but if he did say that he didn't want to do the job, maybe he meant for the interim match.
100% it was the interim match, because he did the job in the other match and there was never an issue, because he was going to, if you remember, he was going to do the job and then he was going to go away.
Right. I remember Punk saying something to Moxley after the pay-per-view match too. And I always thought, you know, is he being snide there? It was like, are you happy with that? Or something? Cause I'm a lip reader guy. Right. So I tried to figure out what he was trying to say.
Well, you're ahead of me on that one. Cause I did some lip reading, but then again, I was in the arena that night, so I didn't.
Yeah. So if you go back and actually watch that match though, at the end, he said something to Moxley, and I thought maybe just knowing the little, and I don't know Punk at all. I've interviewed him once and he was super nice to me then, but I could just see, just based on things that he does and says and what I've seen, is that he might have made, you know, kind of a slap happy sort of, you know, like, haha, are you glad you got your win now or whatever? Maybe. And again, that's just a guess, but
I don't know anything that happened.
So I was just going back and watching and see, but I just think that that is interesting as a whole. And then for him to come out and bring you into this, and then Jericho as well, like obviously there's still resentment about a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and I don't know what the stories are either. I mean, I've heard all sorts of different things from, I think it was your report and a couple other places were saying that, you know, he might be willing to come back and apologize. If it was, would it be a public thing? Would it be a private thing?
Well, I don't know that, but I again, for the best for the company and the industry and everything is for everyone to work together. You know, I mean, like that is the best thing, but everyone be on the same page. And the way to do that is for him to, you know, and again, it doesn't, I don't even want it to be public. It just with the guys, you know, I mean, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson and whatever. And, you know, the other guys, you know, that, and just the top guys, and just go in there and go, look, let's work together. You know, it's like in some form, let's work together for the good of the company. And that's the best for the company. Mm-hmm. Whether that can happen, I don't know. And you know, but again, that's what I would be hoping for, because if not, and he comes back and there's people who are really resentful, I mean, again, do you want the thing where a whole bunch of people go, okay, as soon as my contract's up, I'm heading to Vince, right?
Right.
Or WWE, because I'm really unhappy that he got brought back, you know, after what he did. If he goes in there and clears the air with everyone, and the air is clear, then you can come back and, you know, you can take advantage of that in a storyline fashion, or you could not. But he could be there and he can do his own program, and hopefully, you know, the company can grow, because he can, you know, he is the biggest drawing card that the company ever had, you know, which a lot of people are going to be really mad at me for saying now, especially because of everything else, but you can't take that away from him. Okay.
But on this show, especially, Dave, and again, not to put myself over here, but you and I usually shoot pretty straight here. You've never said anything but that with me on this show.
I've always said he was the biggest draw. And I've always tried to compliment. And when I said, like last week, when we were, which is funny because last week we actually talked about this and none of this had gone on. There was just, I know, you know, we all know he's probably either healed or about to be healed. And, you know, for months, because of the injury, I mean, it was one of those things where Tony doesn't have to make a decision. He's got 6 months, 8 months to make a decision. Yeah. Now it's that time where he has to make a decision. So I didn't know, but I just was hoping that, you know, it's like they don't need him back to ruin the morale of the locker room. But I mean, hopefully they can work it all out. But that was my point. It's like,
And you're not saying that him returning would ruin the morale. Saying that's a possibility. Okay, I'm just trying to get.
I just think that, you know, you get everyone on the same page. But I did say, and is that if the company's health was dependent upon it, on him returning, then at that point, you have to do it to save the company. Now the company is not in danger of, as far as I know, of anything like that. So that's not really an issue. I'm just saying, like, there are circumstances where even at the worst, you know, you can go, like, you have to take the try. In this one, I thought the situation is like, clear the air. Everyone agreed to work together. Try to put everything behind you. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't put everything behind you, this goes with everyone. You know, it's like, you know, I wish, you know, Punk could put the Adam Page thing behind him when he came back from the injury and he didn't, you know.
Right.
And perhaps other people on the other side, you know, I mean, it's there's two sides to this. Okay.
That's just it. But, and I've said this before, too. It always, you know, it's never everybody's right, everybody's wrong.
It's all shades of gray. But, you know, that, you know, there's things that happen. But, you know, if they all agreed or, you know, just go, okay, this is the best thing for the company, let's do it. And please don't keep looking backwards. Cause if you do, you know, it's one of those things where then you're always going to have a blow up because you don't want that. You don't want more blow ups.
No.
So that's kind of like what I was always talking about, where I said, like, it's got, you know, they've got to clear the air, because if they don't, I mean, is it, you know, then you have people, and we've had this debate, like, okay, he comes back and then like three or four guys want to leave. And then is it worth him? Oh, he's a bigger draw than those guys, you know? And it's like, well, then you're really, you know, in the end, is that a good thing? No. So, you know, as far as like, you know, it's a really tense, you know, decision from a lot of standpoints. Like,
so when it comes down to the accusation, Dave Meltzer is a liar, do you think that this is the incident that he was talking about, the message board thing that you'd mentioned?
I think.
Or could it be other things as well?
Well, he's probably mad at me over, you know, who knows what. I mean, he, you know.
Well, there was a lot said after the all-out presser, right? Which, I mean, I'm not going to rehash all this stuff. I guess my bigger question to you, Dave, is... Yes.
I don't think I'm a liar, but I do think that that message board post that I made, I should have, you know, it was just a quick thing and I should have probably gone, you know, I should have pointed out part of this was that he was injured and that played a big factor in, you know, it was a really tense situation because, you know, there's something that they wanted to do the time, you know, if that pay-per-view was anywhere but Chicago, you could have pulled it off.
Right.
And worked the timing, you know, because you could have done the match where Moxley wins the first match on the pay-per-view and then Punk maybe wins a big TV rematch. Right. And then you still can get to Punk. You know, there's things with the timing. It was a really tense situation back then. And they did what they did. And Punk in the end did go along with it. And in the end, Moxley did the job for Punk too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it all, you know, it was not, you know, like Punk, you know, it's like, whatever you say, there was a lot of bad feelings, but everyone did what they were what Tony wanted them to do in the end, and they got through it.
Yeah.
And Moxley lost.
It was business.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, Moxley was going to go on the vacation and then, you know, do a storyline for his big return.
Right.
And that didn't happen because they had to call him and I think Jericho too, both back from like Jericho had something that he was off on for, you know, because the Young Bucks and Punk we're all going to be off TV for a while.
Right.
And so, you know, you change the trajectory of everything there. And so, you know, you've got, and that's all the stuff that like the reality is that whether it's everyone has to be, and I don't know if it's possible, but you have to get the guys enough on board to clean the slate or, you know, someone's going to say something, someone's going to do something, and this is all going to come up again. And then that's not good. That's not good either. So, I mean, that's where we're at.
I just, and we'll close up on this right away here. And then we'll do another segment here to talk about what we normally talk about. But Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, we're getting down to what you think about this comment that came out from CM Punk on his Instagram. I thank you for being upfront about this too. And again, I don't have a dog in the fight here. I'm a big CM Punk fan. I appreciate you being on the show here every week. Like I'm just this guy in the middle. I think I feel like a lot of fans do.
Well, don't feel in the middle because I it's a funny thing. Hey, look, I got along with Punk all summer.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you too. Have you tried reaching out to him since this? I mean, I know you've been busy. Obviously we're not going to talk about it here, but there's been stuff you've been dealing with behind the scenes and, do you think you could reach out to Punk and maybe say like, hey, what's the problem here?
Yeah, there's no reason not to. Yeah, 100% right.
Just on the business thing here, you know, it's funny when you brought up the whole CM Punk, you know, had to win Chicago thing. Take us back. Or,
he didn't have to, but
he did. He didn't. I'll tell you why. Because WWE could afford to have Sami Zayn lose in Montreal. AEW that time could not afford to have CM Punk lose like that in Chicago.
I won't disagree with you because I'll tell you what, like as far as that goes, I 100% thought that CM Punk should win the title in Chicago. I thought that all along. That's why I didn't think I thought he should have won it from Adam Page in Chicago and not in Vegas the first time. But that's Tony's decision. And there's no right or wrong. But I mean, the point is yes, in Chicago, and that was one of the problems with all this is that the pay-per-view was in Chicago and Punk really did have to win that match. So for Moxley to win, if you had more time, it could have worked perfectly or much better, but you didn't. And so you had, you know, you didn't have a good situation. Yes, you could have just never done the TV match. TV match, you know, it drew some ratings and that's part of the game too. But also it told that story because, you know, again, I do feel that Moxley is very, very valuable and protecting the idea that they're one and one, you know, it's just like when Moxley wrestled, Adam Page in the first match back after the concussion, right?
Right.
Adam Page had to win that match.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, and you know, and Punk was hot, but Adam Page had to win that match because it was the right thing for the storyline. And then this is in its own weird way, this is the right thing too. So, yeah, you know, it's you can debate it. You could debate a lot of different things about it, but
okay. Well, I agree.
He had to in Chicago, and that's what made the situation weird, because it wouldn't have been weird if it wasn't for the injury. And the injury really did, you know, close that gap more than probably is the right thing. And a lot of people criticized that, and I understood why. I understood all circumstances of that. You know, it's just like, well, he just beat him. Why do the pay-per-view 10 days later? And it's kind of like, in the big picture, he's got to win in Chicago, and that's the match.
You
got to
have that image. Yeah, exactly. You got to, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're yeah, building yeah. a company, you're building a champion, and forget, you know, forget it the fact he got injured afterwards. It's the fact that it should have yeah, happened yeah, that
the,
way.
The,
so
the, yeah, that he got injured afterwards was yeah. a very unfortunate situation that, you know, and everything that happened was terribly unfortunate. And you know, it happened. And I mean, okay. that's the whole thing why I say, like, everyone's got to clear the air, because all that stuff happened. And if you're going to be on both sides, whether you're AEW talent or whether you're whoever he's mad at or whoever or him himself, if you're going to have that thing linger, it's not a good thing for anyone, because it's like, if you're going to have it linger and then the first thing that goes wrong, because something will go wrong. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to make a demand. Someone's going to do something.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to all of a sudden just, you know, like, anyone just lash out and freak out. So that's the situation.
Dave Meltzer has said that on this show, not on this show, but you said here today, if there's an opportunity to, you wouldn't mind trying to work things out. I would like to think that
it's not work things out. It's not work things out as much as just I, but you know, I've just said what I said. I mean, yeah. I do understand where he's like, it's like a lot of times if people do, you know, say stuff like mean stuff to me, I, you know, I'm not really like, okay, like, I don't accept it. I think it's bullshit and all that.
Okay.
In this case, it's like I didn't say anything mean towards him or anything, but I didn't write, like, on that post, it wasn't complete. It wasn't the complete story, because I didn't really think it was a big deal. It's just a message board post. But
exactly. That's the thing. When it comes down to it, it's social media, it's message board. But if we miss a couple lines on anything, Dave, this is where people get mad.
I know. Agreed.
This is what happens in the world. Yeah. So
no, I'm not the slightest bit mad that he's mad at me over that. Yeah. Okay. Because I should have mentioned the injury played a part in all of this. And it was a real injury. He said it was the worst injury of his career. He described the injury to me. If you remember, I asked him, because I was very curious about it during mm-hmm. that infamous press conference. The thing I was most interested in is the injury. How is the recovery and everything? It was a bad deal. So
yeah.
That is basically it. But I hope everyone can put this behind them. And, you know, I don't know. It's, you know. That's all I could say. I hope everyone could put this behind him. And I hope that, you know, I mean, could it be what you want it to be in your fantasy? And as a wrestling fan, yeah, that'd be the best thing possible. I hope it can be that, but it, you know, I
just never
know.
You just never know.
You just never know. Okay.
We have talked a lot about one thing. So Dave, if you're good, we're going to come back and talk about what we normally talk about next year, but thank you for being so open on this and for taking the questions here. And again, like I said, I don't have a dog in the fight here, so I appreciate your side. CM Punk, if you'd like to come on and give your side, I will ask you just as fairly as well, but I will just say flat out, Dave, thank you very much for that. Stick around. We're going to talk more with Dave Meltzer. WrestleMania is a week away, by the way. We should probably talk about that next on Sunday night's main event. Tell me lies, tell
me sweet little lies. You're listening to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
And welcome back to Sunday night's main event. If you missed it, Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer and I just went in depth on the CM Punk. You know, the funny, we went about 20 minutes, which I think some of it's going to have to be on our podcast feed here, but we went 20 minutes on a post that was up for 30 seconds. But let's talk about WrestleMania now. And of course, the big weekend is coming up fast. There's a lot of interesting matches here, a lot of matches people didn't expect to see happening. I think the biggest one was Brock versus Omos, because everybody thought, well, it's going to be Gunther. It's going to be, that could still happen at SummerSlam. That can happen at Rumble down the road, wherever.
Right, right, right. And probably should happen at some point.
But Brock is on his way out, is what he's been reportedly telling people. Bobby Lashley doesn't have a match anymore.
I just want to say, like, that may very well be right.
Okay.
But Brock's stuff is very secretive.
Okay.
So but yeah, he, you know, I mean, certainly there was that rumor. And when I asked, it's like, look, Brock's stuff is secretive. And no matter what you hear, nobody knows. Like, literally nobody knows, but Vince and Paul Levesque knows, and Nick Khan knows, and Brock knows. And pretty much that's it. You know, like, the talent doesn't know. So, you know, as far as, like, you know, that very well could be true, but it's like, I was just told, like, don't.
Well, either way, he's facing anything. Omos. So
absolutely,
there's an opportunity here to get Omos to a next level here. But Bobby Lashley doesn't have a match now. I mean, everybody, I mean, I've been calling for months here. Are we getting the Hurt Business back? That's got to be what this is, right?
They've certainly been building to that for a long time, and then they've kind of cooled down on it.
Well, now, but more than ever, I mean, you don't got Bray for the match. Bobby's doing nothing. He deserves something.
Yeah,
let's do a
three-way.
No, let's just have Bobby help Omos win, and boom, it's the Hurt Business.
You could do that. You could do that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
sure. And then put the Hurt Business bit together, and that's totally viable. Yeah.
I like it. Okay. Well, again, fantasy booking here. Theory versus Cena. This match is kicking off WrestleMania. This is the first one for the entire weekend. So we talked about it a bit last week and the week before, of course, when the challenge was made. Dave, what do you think as far as the outcome of this? I mean, Cena's probably not sticking around to carry a title all summer. How does this benefit Theory in the end? Does he win? Does he lose?
I don't know, but if it, you know, it's like there's the one school of thought is that, I think if you really want to build Theory up, he wins. John's John Cena forever. He can lose a match and he can come back. It's like when he comes back in 6 months, it's like, it's still John Cena's return. It's great. You know? So, but Theory's the guy who's going to be there week in and week out. And if there was no title at stake, I would go like, oh, you know, John's a superstar. People don't want to see him lose at WrestleMania. But for John, unless, you know, he's got nothing going on, and I think he's got all of these things, it seems like, going on, but yeah, I think Theory should win this one. Just because it's the time, you know, it's the big win to make Austin Theory into a superstar, which they obviously want to do.
Asuka versus Bianca Belair, you know, with this new character change for Asuka, it's been a fresh coat of paint, to use the old terminology here. But Asuka's been around for a while. This is, to me, an opportunity for either solidifying Bianca or reestablishing Asuka. Which way do you think is more beneficial to both sides here?
I see this match as a match where it again, Bianca's been champion for a long, long time.
Yep.
So just changing her into the challenger's role is actually freshening her up. So her losing is not necessarily a mark on her. It can actually be used for the better, as long as they keep her focused and everything like this. I think long-term Bianca is more valuable than Asuka. So if they look at it that way, but again, like, what opponents do you, you know, again, if Rhea Ripley was still on, like, I presume Rhea Ripley is beating Charlotte Flair. This all plays.
Well, we'll get to that one. Yeah. But
okay. So if Rhea Ripley wins, I don't know who Bianca really has as an opponent. Because Becky Lynch is a baby face. So that would be the other one. I mean, they could do that, you know, like you could go either way, but just if you're going to keep something going with, Asuka and Bianca Belair, probably to keep it going, Asuka win by a nefarious manner is probably the best way to do it. And put Bianca in as the challenger for a while, just to change things up a little bit.
Do you remember what a great heel Bianca was?
Yeah, but she's got to be a babyface now. I don't think turning her heel is the right thing. She's hot, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like she's hot in a situation where you, like, not like incredible Becky Lynch at her peak or anything like that, but hot enough to where she should be the number one babyface, with Becky on that Raw side. And because of that, I would say, like, you try to maximize her, and her losing actually in this case might help maximize her more than her winning. And then like not having a good challenger and not having a good chase. So that's kind of my thought.
Two matches that are rumored to be on the Saturday card. Which one do you think could main event if they are both, in fact, on there? The Usos and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, or is it Rhea and Charlotte taking that top spot on Saturday?
I mean, the story I've heard is Charlotte and Rhea, but this stuff changes all the time. I mean, you know, if it was me, it would be the Usos match main events. I think that's the number one match on the show. So I would go with it. Because again, I mean, like Sami Zayn could be the hottest guy in the company. And if you say Roman Reigns is the hottest guy, Sami's number two, you know, or Cody, maybe Sami's 2.2B or whatever, because Cody's very hot right now too. So the point is that I think that like, if you're talking about the main event spot, I feel Sami should be in the main event spot on the Saturday show. Yes. If he's on the Saturday show, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. That again, we don't know that these are 100% nailed in either.
I know Roman and Cody's on the Sunday show, but yeah. I would, if it was me and it's not, I would have, the Usos and, you know, the Usos match with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is the main event on Saturday. And of course, Roman and Cody's the main event on Sunday.
Presuming Cody wins the championship, do mm-hmm. we see Roman go away for some time? Because the WrestleVotes Twitter has said that there's likely going to be a 3 or 4 month break for Roman.
I heard that, and I don't know if that's, again, they have a lot of big shows.
Right.
Look, if Roman is going away, Cody should win. But, and even if he's not, I'm not sure Cody shouldn't win. You know, I mean, they've been telling that story too. And, Cody has to win the championship to me based on the storyline where they're going at some point. Could he lose here and then win it at SummerSlam or win it next year's Mania? And in the long run, you have the longer chase and all that. You could do that, or you could do it now because it is WrestleMania. It's LA and it's one of the biggest WrestleManias of all time. So you absolutely could do it here. I think most people think they are going to do it here. I think that's I saw the betting odds and they were really strong as far as Cody winning. So, then you've got to make sure that Cody's lined up with challengers. You know, I mean, you got Solo and you can got Jay and then, maybe get a Drew McIntyre in there or, if Gunther is not the Intercontinental, he could be in there.
Well, you can always run programs. Yeah.
There's a lot of names, but of course, you want to build if Cody is going to win, the idea is to build to a really big Cody Roman rematch, probably, SummerSlam.
Yeah.
As far as like I wouldn't do it the next month. I would wait, and have Cody go through some people and then try to build this giant match for SummerSlam. And then at that point, if Cody's on fire, you don't got to go back to Roman. If Cody's, if it's not on fire, then you can go back to Roman or whatever. But I mean, circumstances at that point are very, we'll know much more about what you should do at the point of that match, which should be months down the line.
We're talking to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. There are some thoughts on some WrestleMania potential outcomes. We'll find out, of course, this weekend. And don't forget, on Sunday night's main event, we will have after podcasts for each day, each night of WrestleMania, whatever you want to call it. So that'll be happening as well. Let's just go back to the business side of things quickly, Dave, here. We only got a couple minutes left, but FTR laid out a challenge to the Guns saying, if we don't beat you, we will leave AEW. They've been saying April's their contract expiry. Do we know anything? Is that going to be it? Are they done? Are they Gonski? I mean,
I am under the impression that they're staying and that this is just an angle to play into that idea. I mean, most people think that they're, I've heard from many people that they're still, that they're under a deal and everything. Because if not, there's no point in even bringing them back for this.
Right.
If they're going to go somewhere else, so I presume I'm presuming that they're winning the title.
Unless they put the Guns over, which would be an interesting.
If they put the Guns over, then it's like a, whatever.
Put somebody over on the way out, right? That was the old school mentality. Okay, Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. Any updates on these guys at all?
Just people say that Randy's going to be in L.A. But as far as like what that is, and Matt Riddle, not a word on Matt Riddle. And obviously he was suspended. The suspension's been over for quite some time and they haven't brought him back. And perhaps it's because maybe they want to bring him back with Randy, which makes sense, bring him back together and go in there where, the thing is that then, would they come back, you know, I mean, they should be in line for that tag title thing. And then you probably have Kevin and Sammy as the champions. So do you do three-way program, which isn't the worst idea in the world.
Could be anything. Could be anything. Last but not least, with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. Sorry to rush you, Dave. We are literally running out of minutes here. But there was a sneak preview for the new AEW All Access show. Some feedback from some fans think that this is all a work. Dare I say they would do such a thing?
Well, I think that there's going to be a mix of everything in there. I would presume because it's a wrestling show. But I mean, as far as until I see the show, I don't really want to comment on, oh, it's a work, it's a shoot. I mean, I'm sure there's some storyline stuff's going to be worked in there for sure.
Right.
And other things, you know, it's look, it's a reality show and reality shows have elements of shoot and elements of work in them in most cases. So, but like, look, we'll watch the show and we'll all come to the conclusion of what it is on Wednesday night.
There you have it. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. After he's done here, he's going to text CM Punk. Thank you very much, Dave. Appreciate the time as always. And what's your plan for Mania? You're there, obviously. It's just down the road from you.
But it's too much work. I mean, in the sense of if I go down there, I could never get an issue done the next week. So I'm going to be here.
Oh, wow. Watch.
Oh, yeah. It's so hard. I know people say, well, you do with AEW and it's freaking hard with AEW, but AEW, it's one night. I mean, this is
two nights.
Plus I got the Ring of Honor pay-per-view plus, you know, all the other stuff that happens. This is a week where I cannot afford to leave. I mean, the last time they were in, San Jose, even it was hard, you know, when they did the WrestleMania Santa Clara. This is just, and that's a two-day show. I just can't see we're doing it. I would love to go Sunday really bad, but you know, just commitments and everything like that. And just getting the issue out. It's impossible.
Well, you know what? You make it possible for us. And again, thank you. If you missed the earlier segment with Dave, by the way, go back, check it out, snmeradio.com. Check out the podcast because I want to thank you again for being so open. And we got to go, man. We're out of time here. But thank you again, and we'll catch you next week, okay? Or the week after or somewhere. I don't know. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer coming up next. We're closing up the show as we get ready for WrestleMania here on Sunday night's main event.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
TotalSportCards.com, Canada's number one stop for WWE, AEW, UFC, NHL, NBA, and NFL hobby boxes. Total Sport Cards always delivers the most sought-after products with the best price points in the market that you can find. Keep your collection up to date with TotalSportCards.com. TotalSportCards.com, proud sponsor of Sunday night's main event.
This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about right there. You know, you can have your Linda McMahon walkout music of the, whoa, WrestleMania. You can have all that stuff. No, that's always what it's going to be for me. The crunchy guitars, the crunchier overmodulated synthesizer. Yeah, that's the WrestleMania anthem right here. For those that know, you know. Something I want you to know, we are covering Mania Weekend like nobody else. We're going to have after podcasts for both nights of WrestleMania. So if you haven't subscribed yet on your favorite podcast catcher, just look up Sunday Night's Main Event, SNME Radio. Or join our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio. You get all the countdown shows and everything else from all the other promotions that are leading up to this weekend as well. Because, you know, WrestleMania season is wrestling season. That's what it is. If you're a wrestling fan, this is our Christmas season. This is our time to gorge at the holiday table of WrestleMania. Because let's face it, a lot of us take holidays around WrestleMania. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Enjoy it. Give yourself a WrestleMania Monday hangover day. You're good. Get back to work and try and shelter all the joy you had by watching nothing but wrestling for 3, 4, 7 days straight. Why not? Again, we're going to have podcasts through the wazoo, so snmeradio.com is where you can follow along with that. And as always, thank you for listening and letting me do what I do. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, play safe, drive safe. Happy seeing you.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get the complete show, as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.